Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number is 844-322-2742. If you're listening overnight, as we always say, on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it soon on Basic Gospel. So again, the number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And Bob, I know you and I agree that we want to send happy anniversary wishes to Paul and Susie McLean, wonderful friends of the ministry and personally as well. So happy anniversary.
Yes, indeed. Paul serves as the chairman of the board of Basic Gospel, and we've known Paul and Susie for many, many years, and boy, when this gospel message hit their heart, they were just transformed and just came to life, and have really been strong, powerful voices for this message in their churches, Bible studies. Just love sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and really connecting people to his love and grace. So happy anniversary, Paul and Susie. Thank you for your love, your friendship and support. May this just be the most special day ever for the two of you.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, we're talking about the grace of God that changed Paul and Susie, that saved you and me, that saves anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And we have all these misconceptions about the grace of God, and we've been looking at a number of those misconceptions this week. Today, we're going to look at misconception number four. So number one is grace is necessary only for salvation. So once you're saved, you move on to bigger and better things. Well, that's just flat out wrong. And boy, if you do, you're going to miss out on the fullness of this life that you have in Christ. The second misconception is grace is merely a covering for sins. We just look at it as something that God does for us when we sin. He forgives our sins and covers them over. Well, there's two really bad errors in that misconception. The first is this, that Christ, his sacrifice didn't cover our sins. His sacrifice took them away once and for all. That's a big difference, huge difference. So maybe those Old Testament sacrifices swept the sins under a carpet to be dealt with at a later time. But that's not what the sacrifice of Christ was all about. He dealt with them once and for all, and he said, "It is finished." And then the other aspect of this is that we miss the fact that grace really solves the deepest need of man, and that's the fact that we're dead and in need of life, and the grace of God makes us alive together with Christ Jesus. The third is, so often people think of grace as a thing. It's a theological concept. It's a doctrine that we believe, that we check the box and say, "I believe this." It's a no. Grace is not a thing. Grace is not a theological concept. Grace is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Right. He is the one full of grace and truth. And that brings us to misconception number four, and it's this: grace gives us a license to sin. Now, this has been out there for 2,000 years. When Paul and the other apostles started teaching the grace of God out there in the marketplace, many people received it, welcomed it, but there were unbelievable critics and skeptics, and boy, they started raising all kinds of questions. Questions like this that Paul asked in Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then?" So he's just talked about this abundance of grace that we receive and the gift of righteousness, and in so doing, we reign in life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, you know, you basically can't out-sin the grace of God. However big your sin is, the grace of God is bigger. So folks, hearing that, you're going to think, well, what are you saying, Paul? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? So in other words, Paul, you're just giving everybody a license to sin. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing that you can ever imagine when you understand the reality of God's grace. And when you realize that grace serves as a teacher to teach us to say no, to renounce worldly passions and ungodliness, and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. And the reason it does that is because grace has made us new on the inside. Grace has given us a new heart. And as Paul says in Titus chapter 2, that Jesus has redeemed and called the people unto himself who are eager to do good works. Now, that eagerness is the result of the work of grace in our lives. And that eagerness is the very thing that teaches us to renounce worldly passions and ungodliness and live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. So, no, grace is not a license to sin. Matter of fact, grace is the power to live in the newness of life that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say, hey, if you've died to sin, you're not going to live in it anymore, and sin is no longer your master since you were under grace. When you were under the law, sin was your master.
Yes.
So the more you tried to live up to the righteous requirements of the law, the more you sinned. That's just the way it was, and everybody has had that experience. When you die to the law, when you realize that you've died in Christ, that you have died to sin and have died to death, and that you've been raised to walk in the newness of life, and you start to reckon yourself dead to sin, you're going to see the power of grace unleashed in your life, and you're going to be experiencing this life of Christ in ways that you never dreamed or imagined.
And that's exciting. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. Friends, thank you for being with us. We have calls on the board already, but we still have plenty of room for you if you call quickly, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And I have a question for you. Are you doing the best you can to live up to the righteous expectations of God in your life? If so, how's that working for you? It's a serious question. Trying to live the Christian life is not hard, friends. It's impossible. If we could do it, we could just enjoy our salvation and say, see you when I get to heaven, Lord. But for some reason, it just doesn't work that way. If you found that the Christian life is a struggle, there is a reason for it. Many believers in Jesus Christ have been taught that we must do our best for God. Try harder, do right, be better. But the Bible teaches that there is no way that we can perform well enough and good enough to satisfy those righteous requirements of a holy God. So where does that leave you? Well, perhaps you've already found that it's time to let go of all your struggles and rest in what Jesus has already done for you to satisfy God on your behalf. We want to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's revealing book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to amplify these truths and say thanks for supporting Basic Gospel in these final days of this month. Make your gift at basicgospel.net, then think about the others who need to hear the truth about God's grace and order additional copies or two, maybe one or two, to share with them. You can order additional copies when you visit simplegospelsimplygrace.com. That's one big long word, although it's made up of four words, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. We hope you'll reach out into your community, your realm of influence, and share this good news through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and start in Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Prince, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Prince.
Yes.
You are on the air, my friend.
Just a quick question, guys, and I love your show, and I support your show. And
well, we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
My question is, when you become a Christian and you're new in Christ, in my experience, it seems to be like it's harder. You try to stay on that right path, but something always tends to steer you to the left or to the right. And it just feels like a unending cycle of trying your best to be, you know, do the right thing when it comes to Christ.
Yeah, well, that's, you've actually hit the nail on the head as far as the problem is concerned. You're trying to stay on the right track. The Christian life isn't carried out through human effort. It isn't carried out by lifting ourselves up by our bootstraps. It isn't carried out by trying the best that we can. That's not the nature of the Christian life, Prince. The nature of the Christian life is a life of faith. That's the essence. So, you know, your question, as it's written on the screen, how do you stop sinning after receiving the grace of God? Well, that's really the wrong goal. The goal is to learn to trust. How do I trust Jesus more in my day-to-day lives? And as you learn to trust Jesus more, the byproduct of that is you're not going to give in to worldly temptations or the desires of the flesh. So Paul put it this way, Prince, in his letter to the Galatians. He said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So he didn't say stop sinning and therefore you will be walking in the Spirit. He simply said walk in the Spirit, and in walking in the Spirit, the byproduct of that, the end result, is that you will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. Now, the desires of the flesh aren't going to go away. The desires of the flesh are still going to be there, but God has never called you to fight against those. He's simply calling you to trust Jesus Christ, and as you learn to walk by faith in him, as you start to realize what that looks like, then you're going to see that you will not be giving in to the desires of the flesh. So the goal is to learn to trust. So how do we live this Christian life? It's by faith. So Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet the life that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So it's a life of faith. So the idea, Prince, is to ask the Lord, and I would make this part of your kind of daily prayer. Lord, I want to learn to walk by faith. I've trusted you. I've put my full measure of faith in you as far as salvation is concerned. I'm not looking for other answers, but now I want to learn how to depend upon you in day-to-day life. And as you begin to pray that and let your mind start aligning to that as kind of the goal of the Christian life, I think you're going to see God answering that in incredible ways. He certainly did that in my life.
All right, fellas, I appreciate it.
Does that make sense to you?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. Well, let me do this, Prince. I deal with this question exclusively in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. The subtitle is this: How is the Christian life really supposed to work? And I think that's really the question you're asking, and I think that's the question most of us ask, and we struggle until we figure out the answer. And this book is helping people discover the answer, and has been for a long time. So I would love to put it in your hands just as my gift. Would encourage you to read it, and then let's continue the conversation, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Prince, you hang on. We'll get your information and get this book to you as quickly as we can. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. It is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. We have calls on the board, Bob, so I guess let's keep rolling.
Yeah, let's keep rolling. Let's go to Garland, Texas, and Terry listening to us on the Word today. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, my friend?
Okay.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I was wanting to know, how do you learn to speak in tongues?
Well, here's the thing, Terry. I don't think there's a way that you can learn how to do that. And the reason I say it is because the speaking of in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is something that he gifts a person with. So back in the days of Christ and the apostles, when they went out to various places in the Roman Empire, they didn't always speak the same language that those particular towns and cities. They didn't speak the same language. So God would gift them with the ability to share the gospel in the language of that particular town. And so those folks could actually hear the gospel in their native tongue. And in hearing the gospel in their native tongue, then they could respond to it and be added to the body of Christ. So that was something that God gifted these people with through the Holy Spirit. So it's not something that you can learn to do just on your own through practice or through some type of method. And the other thing, Terry, is there a reason that you would like to learn how to do that?
Well, my mother knew how to do that, and I never could figure that out.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I wouldn't worry about it.
No.
I wouldn't worry about that at all. The idea, what you really want to get your mind focused on is growing in grace and growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've been saved. You've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You've believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so you've called upon the name of the Lord. Well, God has promised that anyone who's called upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the day that you called upon the name of the Lord, you were saved. Now, what does that mean, Terry? Well, here's what it means, that you were cleansed, all your sins forgiven. You were made righteous. You were made alive together with Christ. You were made holy. Were given the gift of God's Spirit. So God's Spirit came to take up residence in you. Now, a lot of times people want the gift of speaking in tongues so that they can have assurance that God's Spirit actually lives in them. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say speaking in tongues is the assurance that God's Spirit lives in you. Many people can imitate that gift and counterfeit it. So that isn't a genuine indication. So what we need to step back and say, well, wait a minute, God's Spirit has come to live in me. And it says in the scriptures that by his Spirit, I cry out, Abba, Father. By his Spirit, I understand that I'm a child of God. So God's Spirit will give you the assurance that you need by simply bearing witness with your human spirit that you're a child of God. That's not speaking in tongues. That's just God's Spirit communicating with your spirit truth. The truth that you've been saved, and in being saved, you're a new creation in Christ, and in being a new creation in Christ, you are counted as a child of God, an heir of God, a co-heir of Jesus Christ. So that's what you want to focus on, this fact that you've been saved, this fact that you've been made alive, this fact that now you can experience the abundance of life by growing in the grace of God and growing in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, let me do the same thing that I did for Prince. Let me put you on hold and get some information. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, okay?
Okay.
All right. You hang on. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, we do.
And,
thank you, Terry.
We're right in your neck of the woods, so any time that we can help you and be an encouragement to you, you let us know, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. You hang on, Terry. Yeah. God bless.
The Basic Gospel Daily Devotional is called Hear It, Believe It, and Live It, and it's a great way to start every day with a calm assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is your life if you're a child of God. Now, this devotional arrives first thing every morning in your email inbox, ready to help you get every day started just the right way. Click subscribe in the upper left corner of the Basic Gospel homepage, basicgospel.net, and as I said, you can start every day in the quiet, joy-filled assurance that you belong to Him. Again, subscribe in the upper left corner at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Lubbock, Texas, and talk to Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Bob. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. How about you, my friend?
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
I am dealing with a problem that I've been dealing with for a while. As far as I was in an accident many years ago, and I've been was put on prescription pain medicine, and now I deal with unfortunately the addiction to that pain medicine, and I feel like it's something. I'm always feeling the accusation of, you know, of that addiction. And I'm wondering what I can do to get past this. This thing kills me like every day. I'm depressed most of the time because of it. So
because of the medication itself, is that a side effect?
Because of the accusation, because okay. it has a purpose for me. I mean, I was in a bad motorcycle accident.
Yes.
And, you know, my neck is really messed up. But, you know, I also, one thing about people who use pain medication is no matter how well they are at one point or another, they're going to abuse it at some point because it's there, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And
unfortunately,
understand that. And then there's the constant pain issue. So how do you deal with that? And that can be depressing in and of itself. But let me get back to basics, Craig, and just ask a couple of questions. You're in Christ, is that right? You've been born again.
Yes.
You've called upon the name of the Lord.
Absolutely.
Okay. So in calling upon the name of the Lord, it says, for example, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin, that's Christ, became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we believe the gospel, we're justified. And that's a free gift. That is something God does by grace. So you've been made right in God's sight. He has credited to you his righteousness. He has imputed that righteousness to you. And that's guaranteed because of the finished work of the cross. So that means every single sin of yours has already been forgiven. And in Christ, you have forgiveness of sin. So you are a forgiven person. You are a righteous person. You're standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're clothed in his righteousness. So in God's eyes, there's no more condemnation. Absolutely no more condemnation. So any of those accusations, they aren't based on truth, are they?
Doesn't sound like it.
They're based on lies. And that's exactly what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So you have this voice of accusation that is against you. And Paul goes on to say, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So who is it that condemns? If God has justified you, who can accuse you? Who can bring up an accusation against you? Their charges are based on outright lies. So you don't want to believe lies. You want to keep believing what's true. So when those voices of accusation come, use that as an opportunity to step down and say, Lord, thank you that you've made me righteous in your sight through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I think that will be the starting point to help you move down this path and be freed from these accusatory voices. So. Well, Craig, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you this book as well, and I think it'll be a big help to you, okay?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, hang on, Craig. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks to everybody for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have Bible questions or need scriptural guidance for an issue you might be struggling with, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. And remember, with your gift during the month of August, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Several of our listeners have been blessed with a copy of that today, and we're grateful for that. Anyway, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our Friday study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.